Here comes old village with a new person.
Good morning. Council may remember this from the meeting of January 28th and the public hearing that was held for the MOU. And as with that previous meeting, I'm going to yield to Mr. Robertson.
He's a quick learner. He gets the point. And the next thing you know, he's tanning stuff off.
Wow.
So thank you. And Mark Cote is here as well from DelDOT. Just a brief update on this. Recall we had a hearing in front of Planning and Zoning, and they made recommendations, and we had a hearing here at Council, and there was a lot of public input. After that meeting, we sort of took in the public input that we got. I went up to DelDOT and met with them to sort of go over it all and see what we could, agree with, and I will say most of the comments we received were all good ones and they were constructive. A reminder on this, it's this MOU is it's more about coordination and exchange of information at this point. It's not a rewrite of DelDOT's regulations or our zoning code. That's not what it's intended to do, and so that's not what we're looking to do. In going through this, Mr. Whitehouse sort of had a good description of it. I'm just going to hit the headlines of it because we want to do that, sort of get your okay on that, and then come back with the agreement at a later meeting with a resolution to adopt it. I'm not going to go through, there were a lot of like words that were changed or sentences that were rearranged but didn't change the substance of it. I'm not going to go through that today because it's not substantive. I'll give you an example. In some cases, there were suggestions, good ones, to go from sort of generic terms to specific terms. Like in a couple places, we used the word like approval. And people that deal with this said, well, the approval you're looking for is a letter of no objection. Why don't you say letter of no objection? So there's a lot of those kinds of things. And to Mr. Riley's point, we did change section 115.220D to 219. That was an error in there, so we got that fixed.
You had me looking there for a minute.
It's all in that same area, but that was a good catch. One of the things that I think there was a consensus on was to generally accept the changes recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Remember, the commission didn't recommend yet specifically the reorganization, although they said that was a good idea to look at. We wanted to kind of get through the changes then reorganize it. That was the one thing that everybody did agree on, though, is that the whole thing should be reorganized for clarity, and we're doing that to put it in a more readable format. Along those lines too, there were certain areas that we could reorganize into a list or outline form that sort of makes it easier for everybody to understand. For example, the traffic impacts are listed and then sort of the steps that follow that. So if it's diminutive, here's what you do. If it's negligible, here's what you do. Minor, here's what you do. And major, here's what you do. Same thing with sort of the levels of service and the explanation of those. That was in list form, so it's easier to follow rather than sort of in a paragraph the way it was. And even we had in there more clarity on the events that must occur prior to a hearing on a land use application. If you'll recall, one of the things this MOU wanted to accomplish was making sure we have all the DelDOT information at the time we have a public hearing. So we don't have to table things, wait for stuff to come in, so the developer and the public and council and the commission have to wait to make their decision and consider additional stuff. This way we'll have it before the hearing. The MOU was reorganized to say you have to have this or this or this or this before the hearing occurs. That way it's almost a checklist you go down. At the commission level, there was the recommendation to change sort of the term everybody uses, which is fee in lieu, to the actual term, which is the area-wide study fee. There was a recommendation to change the definition of area-wide study fee, the one that we had in there. And talking to DelDOT, it's our recommendation, staff's and DelDOT's, to keep the definition that we had in the planning and zoning version, because that's the one that tracks DelDOT's requirements. If they have to use it, we shouldn't create something different. There was a request for the deletion of the ability of staff to waive the preliminary traffic analysis if the proposed change in land use was diminutive. Remember, the preliminary traffic analysis, that's sort of step one. You say you're going to file, you got to go get that preliminary traffic analysis, and that tells you the sort of the next things you have to do. We were a little bit surprised by that. We wanted to keep that in because that gives everybody flexibility. if somebody comes into planning and zoning and Mr. Whitehouse's staff looks at it and they can tell, look, this isn't going to change anything, it's where you can then sidestep that preliminary traffic analysis. If it's so obvious that the change is so minor, we talked about some examples where that may occur, we do want the ability to not put somebody through that process unnecessarily, so we wanted to keep that in. One of the things it does is confirms that where traffic impact is negligible, no further traffic analysis will be necessary. So that means, you know, you don't have to go through the TIS process or all that if it's negligible. DLDOT did want to confirm, though, and we recommend this, that if the plan changes down the line, just because at the beginning it's determined to be negligible, if something changes along the line, they do want the ability to require a TIS later on. You know, if you go from a subdivision that looks like this to a subdivision that looks completely different, that may trigger a new TIS. I think that's an understanding that's inherent in it, but we just wanted to make sure it stated that. It didn't say before, and frankly, I just didn't realize the need for it, but developers came back and said they want the ability to do their own TIS instead of payment of an area-wide study fee. Remember, an area-wide study fee comes into effect often where, you know, something's been quote-unquote studied to death. Why would you do another TIS? You just pay your fee and move on. We got comments that there may be limited situations for whatever reason where it may make more sense to be able to do the TIS. Either way, we're still getting the same information that's beneficial if they do their TIS, so there's no harm in that. One of the things P&Z recommended, and it came up throughout the whole process, was to delete the reference to seasonal traffic counts. You might think common sense, well, we should count the seasonal ones. We're not saying don't count the seasonal ones. What we're saying is DLDOT has its regulations on how they do traffic counts. It takes into account those seasonal fluctuations. So rather than specified in the MOU, since DLDOT has to do that anyway by their own regulations, we're just staying with that. There was a request to delete the ability of Sussex County to require a TIS as part of a proposed land use project. It is staff's recommendation to keep that in. I just wanted to clarify that because that was a request to take that out. That's a tool that we should have in our toolbox if the need arises. There was a request, it maintains that DLDOT should recommend phasing wherever and whenever appropriate for Sussex County's consideration. Remember, we sort of talked about that. You know, we need that information to consider. Not that it's mandatory, not that we have to take DLDOT's phasing. We may modify it. But as part of the record on a land use application, we need that information to consider so that, you know, when you all or the commission says, well, we think something should be phased to a certain number of lots, there's a basis in the record for that from DLDOT. So we've kept that in. We've confirmed that that needs to come in prior to a preliminary site plan approval, because that's when we need that information. And one of the things that came up doesn't really talk about what phasing means. Is that an area of a land use application or a number of building permits? And so we're clarifying that phasing can refer to a number of building permits. I think somebody came up and talked about that, and that does make sense, and you're tying it to a specific number that's trackable, because you know, frankly, we see all sorts of phases. We're trying to coordinate it better, but we see sewer phases, we see development phases, we see bonding phases, stormwater management phases, and now DLDOT phases. Those can all overlap. If we just say building permits in terms of DLDOT road improvements, that just makes it a little bit easier for everybody. There was also, I would say it's a concern about a word, not so much a process, but we had in there that Sussex County should participate in DLDOT's negotiations with a developer, and there was concerns about what that means. We're looking at that because negotiations may be the wrong term. That's mainly an exchange of information. Certainly there would be input, and we anticipate there would be input from Sussex County's staff in terms of roadways in the area and impacts to those roads from a proposed development. But the main point of that paragraph was that DLDOT participate in those conversations, be aware of those conversations, and know about any changes that may come down the line as a result of those conversations, so that we're not caught flat-footed when DLDOT changes something that affects, you know, either the roadways, the entrances, how a project's approved, or something that we may have relied upon in an approval, thinking that, you know, it was going to be tied to a certain number of units or whatever. If that changes, we need to know about it. And so I will say those are pretty much the headlines of the revisions. What, as I mentioned, we'd like to do is, with your okay on those, get you all an agreement. I will tell you it's going to look a lot different because it's reorganized. But the looks and the substance are two different things. Substantively, there's not a great number of changes to it. It's just going to be reorganized so that you, me, staff, DelDOT, and the public have a document they can work with that's and understand a little easier. So, and Mr. Cote, do you have anything you want to add just real quick, Mr. President,
sure.
Since they were involved in the conversation?
Sure. Thank you, Vince. I'm Mark Cote. I'm the Director of Planning for DelDOT. And Vince adequately captured all of our discussions that we had when he came up to review all the comments. I did have one slight clarification, which was just under the discussion of negligible, and that it would be the right to do a TOA in the later, not a TIS. So we have certain conditions where we would agree that the traffic impact is negligible and that a TIS isn't needed, but there are sometimes specific either intersections, turn lane length, or something that would be analyzed, and we do that under a TOA, which is a traffic operational analysis.
And I realize that's what it said in my memo number 6. I just spoke on that.
No. Thanks. Any questions from council? Seeing none. Oh, wait a minute. I do see one. To my left, Mr. Burton.
Congratulations to you, Mark.
Thank you.
That's great. I'm happy for you. The I'm reading number 11, right? And it maintains that DelDOT should recommend phasing wherever, whenever appropriate for Sussex County consideration, but it should be clarified that this DelDOT recommendation should come in prior to the preliminary site plan approval. Is that at public hearing? Because site plan approval's afterwards.
So, well, let me answer that just because that's a procedural one for the county. The preliminary site plan approval, that's dealing with subdivisions. So, yes, we want that to come in before that public hearing on a subdivision, because of the subdivision public hearing, if it's approved, that's when we grant preliminary subdivision approval. So that's true.
But site plan approval is different.
Yeah, and so, because there's another section that deals with like commercial site plan approvals, and that same thing applies, that it's going to come in before a commercial site plan approval too.
So you're seeing this as, whether it be a subdivision or a commercial application, that at the planning and zoning or at county council, if there is a recommendation of phasing, it would be part of the public hearing of that subdivision with a recommendation of either the number of building permits or whatever you would do with commercial.
Yes, so if the project has a TIS, then we would identify any of those phasing limitations, recommendations in the TIS, or what comes out of that final letter, so that the public and the council all know, and us, of course, all know what the recommended phasing plan, if there is one, what that would be, so that the public has an expectation of how quickly the development will move out, and then how those road improvements are tied to that development.
Because I'm assuming that the phasing, when you can, will be based on the number, the improvements, right? So on such and such, you got to have a turn lane or whatever, right?
Yeah, so part of that is kind of a math equation as to when things are required based upon our regulations. But as Vince said, there's also many other inputs into that equation in terms of phasing of, you know, sewer, DENREC, and all the other requirements on how that would happen. So we would give our best guess or recommendation to the building permits as it relates to the road improvements. But again, there are other inputs into that decision.
But if the timeline changes, right, if your timeline changes, if, you know, if it was, you know, on the 50th unit and when the intersection is improved and it's planned in the CTP for 2021, then you can have your 51st one or whatever thing. What if your timeline moves?
Then we'll have to kind of revisit what that is and why, I mean, that's a concern, obviously, by having that all up front, but again, it's still our best guess at that moment in time of what's going to occur and what's required. So yes, things can change in the future, and we'll have to deal with that. We'll have to make a decision as to if we're, you know, there ahead of time or we're behind, depending upon what the schedule is and how that may affect the phasing.
But I would add there's an important sort of factor in that, that we wanted to capture through that process. So if there is the change in circumstances like Mark described, if, you know, in their TIS review letter, they have said, well, here's some suggested phasing, and either the commission on a subdivision or you all on a conditional use or an RPC adopts either one of those as a condition. You know, in many cases, bases your approval on, okay, I feel comfortable with this because it's going to be phased and here's how it's going to be phased. If that does change in the future, they would have to come back and request that condition to be changed. The importance of that is that way, you know, we know it's happening. There's that conversation. A developer can come in and say, well, it's appropriate. You know, it's 5 years out now instead of one. We need some flexibility here, or, you know, whatever the situation is. But it won't happen sort of outside of our involvement. You know, it won't be a DelDOT developer conversation where, you know, the phasing changes after we've approved it, we don't know about it, and wait a second, you know, we might have taken a different look at it, and we know this is going to change. So, well, it keeps it transparent more,
yeah,
I would say.
I like that, but, you know, the if you're basing your approval on the improvements changing the level of service, right, and then the timeline changes, right, well, the level of service didn't change because there's been no improvements. That's why the, you know, there hadn't been any improvements. So everybody's in this big trick box, and it, you know, if you make the decision based on level of service, and then they come back in, they say, hey, you know, nothing personal. DelDOT moved it out 3 years,
yeah,
right? Well, then we're stuck with an approval that was based on the level of service staying the same. The level of service isn't. And we're hanging the guy out.
So there's a lot of scenarios, whether it's phased in relation to a DelDOT project, or it could be phased just because there's other potential development in the area. So the TIS is done with those committed developments that are building surrounding that proposed development. So an improvement might be required because there's, you know, three developments that are all moving forward with 300 units. So the assumption is that we want to phase them because, you know, improvements are needed before all 900 come online. Well, it could be that the other two developments that were planned for never move forward. So it may be appropriate that those, from in terms of a level of service analysis, those other units aren't there. So the level of service is still well below what the threshold is for making the improvement. That's just one scenario. So.
Okay. All right, so let's stay in with that, right? The I taking the word negotiation out, right? So that would be a change, right? So we would know that because we're in the room or because we're getting a memo.
I think it would probably vary, you know, depending on the situations. One of the things that we do, whether it's in a room or by memo or by Skype, I guess, you know, we're doing apparently those meetings with some towns and things.
Sure.
You know, is to make sure we get the information no matter how it comes, you know, so that we have an understanding. And, you know, if it's a smaller thing, you know, it's probably a memo. If it's a big project that's changing, that's probably staff participating personally, electronically, or...
Yeah, because, I mean, we're basing our decision based on input, mm-hmm. and then if input changes, they're not looking at you, they're looking at us.
Right.
Right. So yep. Having a reason for that change gives us, you know, the ability to say, hey, I was aware of it, and here's where it's pretty important.
Yeah, I think in any change, there would be some justification as to why that change is, and we can, you know, outline that in some sort of written communication.
And if we have staff there too, you know, our staff then can say to the commissioner, you all, you know, this is appropriate, it's not, you know, if they've been part of those conversations. So we've got, you know, somebody we can rely on too from our side.
So it's going back to your recommendations.
Yeah, it's all about recommendations.
That's
you know,
the way it looks.
Yeah, so you know, there's been a real conversation, at least at the commission, and since I'm not here on Tuesdays when you do a lot of the land use decisions, all I can really speak for is the commission, about looking at phasing. You know, we want to make sure on subdivisions that, you know, the number of lots that are built, you know, coincide with the roadway improvements to serve those lot numbers. Some of that's probably market driven, and it probably would work itself out. You know, in a market, you can only sell so many lots in a year, you know, and that may work. But there's been a real conversation about phasing. Where we have to be careful is, you know, whatever decision, you know, the commission and you all have the ability to put conditions on approval. The law says so, you know, the courts that have interpreted this stuff. But it's got to be based on the record, you know, and that's where we want the information from DLDOT, so that the commission's not sort of more or less throwing a dart on coming up with a number. You know, they've got, and same with you all, you've got some empirical information in the record that says this is an appropriate number. You know, if you want to consider this condition, here's a number you can use. So that I think we're all better off if we do that.
And does time come into the equation, or just permits?
Building permits is usually easier, just because the time is definitely a guess as to when things might happen, as opposed to the building permits, which actually generate the traffic. So we try to get away from the timing impacts. That just doesn't seem to track very well with the level of development, not knowing what the pace of when the development happens. We prefer building permits.
All right, I got two more. Mm-hmm. The seasonal quick comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're a seasonal community, right? How much does that really weigh into the calculation?
So we do an analysis of the summer traffic in most developments in Sussex County, certainly in the eastern portion or along some of the major corridors. So we have all those kind of peak hour discussions in our regulations already, as opposed to, you know, specifically calling that out in the MOU. So that's covered more under our TIS regulations.
Okay. It just, you know, it just seems like we're getting busier, right? So in the summer, and the summer is longer than what it is, I just want to make sure that we're calculating, you know, it correctly, because it's not 3 months anymore.
Correct. And we're working with our traffic section in trying to extract. We have way more data than we're able to capture and analyze right now, so we're working on trying to figure those things out, where we have counters that are constantly counting many of our roadways around the state 24/7. And so while we might not have specific turning counts that would give us kind of the percentages, we still know the overall volume. So we're trying to make that more apparent and be more transparent in what our data is.
Because, you know, I just heard that the toll booths, you know, have gone up dramatically in the last 2 years, just counts.
The right? Volumes.
The volumes. So if they're coming south, we're seeing them. I got one other, and it's really kind of for you. when to waive off a traffic impact study or to waive off the, at the director's level, are you taking in cumulative, you know, one development that you have three more down the way? I mean, how are you going to waive that guy off?
Ordinarily, you'd look at each case on a case-by-case basis, although there may be times when you're aware of several coming forward simultaneously in a small area, so that there would be some discretion in using that ability. But normally you would look at it on a case-by-case basis. Does this individually warrant waiving any additional requirements? So.
But it's really the cumulative effect of not that just that one, but like you said, if the three others aren't going forward, right? I mean, today, do you make a different analysis because this one is?
I would say yes. I guess it depends on where in the county it is. If it's in a more isolated part of the county with less development, it's easier to make that call.
Right.
If it's in an area with more activity and we know there's more activity, that makes it more difficult. But in those situations, we should be having some consideration to what's going on around an individual parcel and not just looking narrowly at that one parcel. So the answer is yes, but...
But you're not doing that statistically. You're doing that from just root knowledge of what's happening in the area.
Correct. So there is some judgment required.
Okay. And I would say, Mr. Burton, if you were talking specifically about the one with the staff waiving the preliminary traffic analysis, that's not the same thing as the TIS, which is more full-blown. It's, and I would say this is limited and probably obvious if you needed to waive it. Like it would be somebody that, you know, has a conditional use, say, and they want to convert that to commercial but not change the use.
Right.
You know, that would technically trigger a preliminary traffic analysis, but why put them through that if the use isn't changing? They're just changing the underlying zoning. So, it's, you know, it's really kind of limited. So.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Okay. What do you want next?
So what we will do next, with your permission, is, and we've been working on it, but take what I just outlined and put that into an agreement form, and working with Mr. Lawson, we'll get that pretty quickly back in front of you so you can actually see the agreement. And then if you're comfortable with it, we'll have a resolution to adopt.
Well, it sounds like we're ready to go, so.
Okay. We'll get going on it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Council member comments. Hearing none. Any motion to go to executive session for land acquisition?
So move.
Motion, second. Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Burton.
Yes.
I'm